time now to catch up with Jeff from Marcella Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Oh, mate, what a week.
Yeah, another beautiful day here, but the nice, crisp, fresh air out there today, Peter. Not really too cold, but the days have been beautiful.
Is that true that Buddy will be running around on tippy-toe?
He has been, I don't know if I mentioned, we moved his kennel because he was in purgatory down there for a while, tied up in the sheep paddock so he could be continually reminded not to chase the sheep. Sheep are our friends. So we moved his little house up here, and boy, he moved in right away.
Oh, that was good of him.
Yeah, he said, this looks like home. I think I'll just settle right in here. So now he's been good. He's, he's big now. You never believe it when you see him. I mean, to think he's only 13 months old, his muscles ripple. And, he's a bit intimidating until you tell people he's only a puppy.
Yeah, well, mate, I told you not to put the jib down there.
They usually say, what are you breeding, a horse?
Yeah. We have a dog like that a few days up from where I am, and it's got that really deep bark, you know, woof. And I spoke to the owners, they're lovely people, and she said, oh, don't worry about him, he's a sook.
Yeah, no, it's good, and he's actually the first dog that we've ever had really that doesn't bark. And which is really good. He does bark a bit at night because with the dogs in the neighborhood start up. People come home, at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and the dogs haven't been fed.
Yeah, he's just playing watchman.
Yeah. So anyway, Peter, lots of things going on. I see, we're going to go back to school here. I mean, I don't understand government. Why do they keep making statements they don't have to make, Peter?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Making statements about, we'll be back at school till July, and on and on and on and on and on, and now we're going back in New South Wales tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, Monday. If you don't have the facts, if you can't make an intelligent decision, don't make one.
Yeah, shut up.
Shut up with these things that they say. That health or chief medical officer in New South Wales, never forget the first time I ever saw in a news conference, 1.5 million people are going to catch the coronavirus in New South Wales. And the amazing thing is, Peter, she still has a job.
Yeah.
A semi knowledgeable person, maybe, grade 6 and above, could have figured out that wasn't going to happen. I just don't understand why they feel inclined to make these statements and then have to backtrack it and think nothing of it.
It'll be interesting to see what happens now, particularly with the buses and the trains and ferries and everything else. Have you seen that schmozzle?
Well, I saw a stupid comment by the Premier about, please don't take public transport. There are too many people on the buses and trains. What is she, crazy?
Yeah, so we pile up the roads and all get infected there. Is that what you want?
Yeah, get run over while you're walking to work, Peter.
Oh, you have to worry about, mate. There's that many people that just step out these days. Doesn't matter. Light rail, anything. They just step out and start walking.
Yeah, well, this a week ago, you remember? A week ago, her famous comment, we have to be very watchful because we have coronavirus bubbling beneath the surface. Well, that was a week ago, Peter.
I didn't know we were having a casserole.
Yeah, but listen, incubation period is 5 to 6 days. What happened 5 or 6 days later, Peter? One case today, one case yesterday. That's bubbling beneath the surface. Surface, Peter, because just for your listeners, incubation period means when she made the statement that day, the number of people that caught the coronavirus are going to show up as a statistic in 5 or 6 days. And 5 or 6 days later, we had one case, Peter. And so when she was talking about this rampant coronavirus bubbling beneath the surface, one person caught coronavirus that day.
Maybe they were in the casserole.
Yeah, exactly. Look, here's the point. France, Spain, Italy, Germany, all the major hotspots of coronavirus in Europe, unlocked, Peter, when they still had 2,000 to 3,000 cases a day, sent their kids back to school, started open businesses, let parks open, all those types of things. Guess how many they have today, Peter? They all have less than 1,000 cases a day. And Spain has less than 500. Italy has less than 500. France has less than 500. And they unlocked when they had 2,000 or 3,000 cases a day, Peter.
Yeah, and so what are we going to do? Cop everything?
Well, this is the point. They've got a much better tracking system than Australia ever thought of. They get 2,000, 3,000 cases a day, and despite unlocking, they can reduce those cases in a week to 10 days to less than 500 a day. So that's living with coronavirus, Peter. That's dealing with the issue. The issue is you cannot destroy your country, which is what's happened here. Even the prime minister looks like he's going to cry at any minute. And I think, sure, he's upset about the coronavirus, but I think he's always looking down around, where am I going to get more money? Where am I going to get more money? Yeah. You know, he's spending our future medical care, Peter. Sure, we've had 70 people plus die, but the number of people that are going to die over the next 5 to 10 years because there is no longer a sufficient level of money to put into health and education, which makes up nearly 80% of the federal budget, over 70% anyway, there's no money. The level of care, not because the nurses or people won't care, they just don't have the money to hire them. They won't have the money to build hospitals or to invest in new technology or buy new equipment. So the death rate from second-rate medical care is going to far exceed what's happened now. They spend a lot of money, Pete. They put it all in the wrong place. I'll give you an absolute perfect example right here in Australia. We've hammered it and hammered it and hammered it about the key is testing, Peter, testing. The key is testing, firstly. Secondly, virus detectives, as we called them. You've got to have early response groups, which we do a bit now. Victoria seems to have better because they swoop in. And they've had 2 McDonald's now as centers. They've had their meat packing plant. And Victoria's opening up more than we are. But I'll tell you what the case is, Peter, and we've joked about this a lot. You don't test, you don't find coronavirus. 4 weeks ago, we predicted Victoria was going to become the coronavirus capital. And the reason we predicted that is they were testing only a little more, 60% of the rate of New South Wales. And there's the two things. If you don't test, you don't find, right, firstly. And, of course, if you don't test, you do have, you know, unknown quantities of coronavirus. We still only test half what we should. But what's changed in Victoria in the last week, they now are testing at the highest rate in Australia. And what's happened, Peter? 2 things have happened. They found a lot more cases. And suddenly they're running 12, 15, 18 cases, but they're down now to 3 and 5, whatever, because they're finding these cells, Peter, these outbreaks.
Yeah, and they're able to
clusters. They're able to control them because they're testing. Okay? And there's a classical example of living with coronavirus. Did they shut the state down again? They found in 2 different McDonald's, a staff member had coronavirus. What did they do with McDonald's cooperation? They shut the restaurant. Everybody was quarantined. Everybody that was visited was asked to go and have a test. And then they cleaned it from top to bottom, disinfected it. Then they brought in entirely new employees from other McDonald's. Okay? That's how you deal with it. You got to live with it, Peter. Mm-hmm. And they're going now to a higher social rate. I think 20 is in the cards or something I heard the other day. They're going to, they're relaxing way faster than New South Wales. I mean, we're absolutely run this place like morons. You know, I mean, we're going to run this country right into the ground with no reason whatsoever. You know, I just don't understand it, Peter. I mean, can't they take examples? Look, you can. There's 150 countries out there that are reporting every day. There's probably 20 examples there of how this should be dealt with. And none of them, except maybe New Zealand, are dealing with it like Australia. And you're going to have to learn to live with it. Look what's happening in Victoria, Peter. It's going to continue to happen. And, you know, we may eventually eliminate it, but I doubt it. Look at China, you know. Yeah. I mean, China's had it eliminated for 2 months, and now they're talking about a second wave. But here, might come. Little cluster here, there was a cluster in the northeast. They got up to 100 cases a day, but they dealt with it. And China's back, I see today they're 7. But they fluctuate between 2 and 20, Peter, 2 and 30, every day.
Yeah,
you've got to deal with it. So anyway, so that's the thing, Peter. We got these people that are not forward thinkers. You know, they're not aware of the damage they're doing. They're aware of the damage they're doing to the economy, their finance ministers and prime minister, because they look in the bloody kitty there. Excuse me for swearing there. They look in the kitty, Peter, and there's nothing in there. But it's the future damage that's the problem. The future damage to education's bad enough, but to the medical system, where a large part of the expenditure goes, Peter, it's just there's no money for it. We're going to kill thousands of Australians because of lack of hospitals and equipment and everything else, because $300 billion, went into paying students and, you know, job keepers and all these things. And I said, look, I don't disagree with the level of support. What I disagree with is the money went to the wrong place.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So anyway, and Peter, here's the point. Even if they had to put $10 billion into testing and got it down to one, what are they going to do? Leave it locked down. You know, I mean, let's get real. We should all run out and buy a lottery ticket. We've got way bigger chance of winning the lottery, Peter.
Why don't we do that?
Catching coronavirus, right? I don't know. It's just, and she makes silly statements. I've lost a lot of respect for this premier about, you know, the backhanded way she told shops they could open. You know, if you think your child needs a new pair of shoes, who am I to tell you that's not an essential service? So all shoe stores can open, you know, and she said the same about buying a new bed. All furniture stores can open. Basically, everybody can open. You know, it just doesn't make any sense from a point of view of proper guidance. Run around making silly statements every day and coming up with some of the stupidest ideas you could possibly imagine. This one with restaurants and social distancing and stuff, Peter, it's such a ridiculous plan.
Mate, she's only as good, I've got to tell you this, she's only as good as her backup staff.
I think you still make the final decision, Peter. Captain of the ship makes the final decision. Anyway, enough of that. We've rubbished her completely, and she deserves it. She deserves it. The Prime Minister, I don't think, is opening up fast enough. And the states are, you know, not going to his capacity. Well, they are now. Victoria has, and, you know, New South Wales, and as of Monday. He didn't want to close the schools at all. Their prime minister. But, you know, we got premiers who think they know better than everybody else. And the literature shows it's the safest place for kids, especially if they're not locked up at home. You know, so anyway, Peter, other things. Our friend coffee's in the news again.
Yeah.
We've had about 5 articles on coffee. This one was obesity again. We did a show quite some time back, coffee's beneficial effect on obesity, because it controls the brown fat in our body, Peter, which is kind of a leftover relic of the time when animals and humans used to hibernate. And that's how bears and beaver and those animals that hibernate all winter, all summer, they build up a very high level of brown fat and then they burn it off. You know, bears build up such a reserve, Peter, that they give birth in the cave and they suckle their young all the way through to spring. And they do that off their brown fat reserve. That's how much they build up their weight during spring. And I'm picking one little berry at a time. And I don't know if you've ever seen those wild berries, Peter. They're about pea size. Can you imagine how long it takes to, you know, to build up, 300 kilo of fat?
Yeah.
Anyway,
they probably need a front-end loader.
Exactly. Yeah, picking them off a bush. But anyway, brown fat. They found that coffee helps you control, as we talked before, that helps control obesity. So, so it's between 4 and 6 we need. 4 cups, remember, we saw that the stem cells and the mitochondria to the heart regenerate. That was one. And then no more than 6, because they related more than 6 to osteoarthritis, Peter. And now you've got to have at least 3 for your to fight obesity. So I think we'll settle on 4 cups a day. Okay.
Okay. I better watch what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, make them smaller cups, Peter. Or bigger cups that only have 4.
Maybe with the latest ruling, where you can have 5 people here and 10 people there. Are you able to have tasting and all that now?
Only if we serve food, Peter. So we are licensed to serve food, which is cheese plates and olives and things. So we're serving cheese plates and we are open. But, it's completely stupid. I mean, we have small towns all throughout New South Wales, can't even spell coronavirus, Peter, and they've been locked down. How stupid's that? You got, a lot of these little country towns have 1 or 2 restaurants and 1 or 2 of this business, that business. And, the likelihood of them getting coronavirus is almost zero. And they've been shut, locked down just like Sydney, just like Waverley and Bondi, where they do have, major problems.
Very high rates, yes.
Yeah, they look after themselves, Peter. Look, they're used to it. The government ignores them. And they're used to looking after themselves, back from the pioneering days. So it's just, it's insane. They think, look, these politicians think the world revolves around Sydney, in talking New South Wales now. And it doesn't. That it might be the infection hotbed. Lock Sydney down. Don't lock the rest of the state down. Lock Sydney down.
I remember that very pleasant night we had at one of your local hotels up there. I forget the name.
Yes, I think we went into the Bulga Tavern.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, and they're shut down, Peter. They have to.
Oh, their food was lovely.
It was, and it is, and well, presumably they'll come back. But I had a call from one of my customers up in Coonabarabran today.
Yep.
And she said, they're opening up again. They're in a little town. They have a pottery shop and a cafe, there, and they've been closed down, Peter. In Coonabarabran, it's and so stupid. So anyway, forget that. So I wanted to talk about our old friend. There was and this came out of the University of Helsinki. They found that vitamin B3, Peter, can boost energy of metabolism. Our mother spreading that Vegemite on our toast, Peter, that's the answer. You've got to have your vitamin, young man or young woman, because vitamin B3 is niacin, and average spread on toast of B3 is 25% of your daily requirement. It's got also B1 and B9, B3, B6, B12, varying from 25 to 50% of your daily requirement, Peter, as well as it has riboflavin and all sorts of other things. Well, actually, some of those are B1s, 2s, 3s. So vitamin B3 now, Peter, going to spread veggie on your toast in the morning.
Yeah, it's funny about that, because that's exactly what I did.
Well, you're going to be okay. It energizes your muscles. What they've discovered in this research at the University of Helsinki is that there's a disease, a progressive muscle disease called mitochondrial myopathy. myopathy, Peter, mitochondrial myopathy, and there is no curative treatment. But they have now found that vitamin B3 has a therapeutic effect on this incurable disease. So, and that's vitamin. Yeah, so it's good. So,
you know what goes with that, don't you?
What, Vegemite?
No, a nice glass of organic wine.
Oh, well, that's true. I'm not sure it goes too well with Vegemite, but anyway, well, but you're right. But vitamin B3 is in a lot of other things, a nice glass of wine. It's in nearly everything, Peter, and chicken and meat and veggies and things. So, yeah, a glass of nice wine does go with all those things, Peter. And you know where you can get it. Free delivery Australia-wide, Acela Organic Wine. Just call us or on our website, Peter, acelawines.com.au.
And they can write to you too if they need, I guess.
They do. Yeah, you can, and they will. Did you get your care package, by the way?
I did. Thank you very much indeed. That's lovely. I'm about to phone some details through for the lovely Yvonne. I'll do that. And we've sort of played swapsies. I guess that makes sense. But that's good. Yeah, not a problem, mate. That's one lady who is very faithful to you, and that's good news.
Well, that's good, Peter. We've been having the odd drop ourselves here, and you know, we hear so much from our friends of Acela, who belong to our wine pack program, about how it's keeping them sane.
It's nice to know. All right, mate. Well, listen, we'll catch up with you again.
Yeah, later in the week, maybe, Peter.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye now. Jeff from Acela Wine. It's acelawines.com.au. Become a member, too.